Welcome to the Crazy Ike Fan Podcast. I'm your host, Teddy. No matter where you are, thanks for making this part of your day. Thanks for taking a listen. Follow me across social media at Crazy Ike Fan on Instagram and on X. Crazy Ike Fan Facebook page. What's up, Ike Didis and Greek football fans from around the world? Back at it. Teddy here to talk. Ike, this has been one crazy week. I cannot wait to report this podcast. Full disclosure, I was going to wait and record a podcast tomorrow after the Asteras, that Tripolis match, Ike Asteras, but I decided to record one today because I didn't want the result of tomorrow to affect what I'm going to say today. So let's get to it. Lots to get to today. First and foremost, news and notes here. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Bizarro, who tragically, his aunt and mother were attacked. His aunt was killed and shot to death in Mexico. So our prayers go out to him as he's dealing with a difficult time. He's back in Mexico. He will join the team on a later date, but thoughts and prayers and good vibes. And there's not much you can say in these situations. So let's kind of slowly move on here. Szymanski's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks dealing with a hamstring injury. Big injury for Ike. Especially before the news came that what's basically going to be the meat of this podcast, the Ljubotić trade with Dinamo Zagreb. But I'll get into that in a little bit. Mukudi joins the team back from AFCON as Cameroon were out of that competition. So he most likely will get at least some game time this weekend. I could see him maybe not starting, but at least getting in a little bit to kind of have, with the Pauk derby in Tumba next week looming, Almeida would want him and Vida to be match fit. Maybe Mukudi and Mitoglou will start, or maybe Mukudi and Collins. We'll see what happens. That way he can get a little bit more acclimated to the team, or back into a good rhythm with the team, excuse me. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what Almeida's going to put out tomorrow. Mohammadi leaves Ike for Turkey. This was something that it didn't bother me. It didn't excite me either. I kind of thought, and I've said this for the past few months now, that at summer Ike would need some type of transition period or some type of upgrade at left back. Bilios is a young, good player. I basically what I want to say is that I think that Mohammadi and even Hadzi Safi have kind of run their course. No, I don't have anything bad to say about Mohammadi. I think he was a good standout player for Ike. I just think, quite frankly, Ike can do better. He was a total professional, so good luck to him in Turkey. And a little bit of sad news. Lotzi was cut loose from Ike. He's a free agent now. Lotzi, who you guys remember, he's a Slovenian international, if I'm not mistaken. Had very good promise, was good at Ike at a very tough time for the club. Young player, had a bad injury, and then just seemed to have never recovered. Went to Ike Vita, could not even get his place into Ike Vita. He was sent on loan to either back to Slovenia or Slovakia. I apologize, I don't remember which one. I think it was Slovakia, where he did not have a good run at being on loan, so the team decided to let him go. Good luck. I hope this kid finds his form even somewhere else. Very good kid from what I hear. Very good professional. Just one of those sad situations where injuries kind of took their toll on him mentally, I think. And hopefully he can find his form somewhere else. Maybe a new beginning will do him good. Zini is set to come back also after Angola. We're out of the AFCON. He will probably be joining the team over the next few days. Hadzi Safi still going in the Asian Cup. As of today, they beat Japan, who was favored, so they're in the semifinals of the Asia Cup, or Asian Cup. So hopefully it continues for him. He's a great player, so well deserved. A little bit of bad news for Ike also. Gacinovic and Jonsson, or they were Poslan Dilomeni, how do you say it? I'm trying to think of the word in English. They were pulled from the roster because of card trouble, and they will both not play tomorrow, which this was a decision that was made before Szymanski's injury. So Johnsson and Szymanski both unavailable tomorrow for the Estetas Tripolis match. But we'll talk more tactics and more about it later here in a little bit. So that was a summing up of the news. Let's get into this big, big news this week with Ljubicic transferring to AEK from Dinamo Zagreb. So I'm going to give my initial thoughts and how I felt when I first heard this news, and then also kind of talk about, in the grand scheme of things, how big this is, and put my take and my perspective on it, right? At first, when I heard the name, I was very excited because I don't think there's an AEK fan or anyone that watched the two-legged fixtures this summer over with AEK versus Dinamo Zagreb that didn't think this guy impressed. I mean, he impressed me. I remembered, you know, his wild curly hair. I remember him in both matches. I probably talked about him. I wanted to go back and listen to the podcast to see exactly what I said. Maybe I should have done some due diligence, and I will in the following podcast to see if I can go through some, find some notes from this summer if I can. Anyway, but I remember him impressing me regardless. That was my first thought. My second thought was, WTF, why are we going to give these guys money? And I'm sorry that I have to feel that way. I know I'm in the minority here. There's a small percentage of AEK fans that feel this way. Is why do we need to give money to Dinamo Zagreb? Now, Dinamo Zagreb are a football club, okay? Regardless, there's a fraction of their fans that are Nazis, basically. There's no love lost between the fans, between both of these organizations, as it came out later on, because there was a deal struck, and then the deal was blocked by, in their the structure of their football club, in the voting, if there's a transfer over 4 million euros, there's two representatives from the fan club Ultras, BBB, that are represented there that voted against this trade and tried to block it. Other people got involved from their front office trying to block this trade, but basically it went through, but both teams did not really talk much. It was more so the managers that and the player's desire to come play for AEK that basically made this transfer go through. I just had to throw that out there because it kind of did rub me the wrong way. Now, getting back down to earth, speaking strictly in football terms, great freaking transfer. I mean, you know, Okavuras or Milisanidis Okavuras. Some people call Milisanidis, you know, Mr. Krabs or Krabby because he doesn't spend money. He's a tsiguni. He's this, he's that. We've heard it all over the years. And he said it years ago. Listen, when he talked about, and I'm going to say flat out that I'm a Milisanidis fan, but I am also an AEK fan more than anything. And a few years ago when the team was not doing well, I stood firm with those fans that were saying, you need to do something with this club or you need to sell, basically. But I am a fan of his because he's lived up to his word. You know, he said years ago, he's like, AEK does not have a future unless we have a new stadium built. So he got the stadium built. And he said, once I build a stadium, then I'm going to focus on building a really good team. And that's what he's doing. He's putting his money where his mouth is. Like, he has, in the past, you know, 7-8 months, AEK have made 3 of their biggest transfers in their history. 2, Ljubicic and Pineda are 2 of the biggest transfers in this club's history. So he's spending money. And especially when you're seeing the support that you're getting from your manager, how well the team is performing, that's big, and that's going to put any investor is going to want to invest in that when you're seeing the results that we're getting now. Now, things have kind of gone up and down for AEK a little bit this season. Europe, I think I've talked at nauseam about what my thoughts on Europe and then being ousted out of the cup a couple weeks ago. But but, you know, he has produced where big criticism of Milisanidis is he doesn't put his money in his pockets. But he even said, you know, from now on, Ike are also going to survive off of whatever comes in is going to go out. So any money that comes into the club is going to get reinvested back into the club. They're not going to live beyond their means. You know, that's something Ike had done before. That's something that's happened all over Greek football. That's something that's happened all over football, period. You know, you get these teams that'll go on these outrageous spending, you know, frenzies. And if they don't have the money to back it up, or they're living by a thread, like Ike did years ago, where if we don't make it into the Champions League, we're going to be in big trouble. You don't want to have a team living like that. You don't want the team, the fan base, everything to be depending, so dependent on getting that result. I'm not to go too far down a rabbit hole here. Now, before this trade was made, to take it kind of back a little bit, look, I'll use an American analogy here to kind of segue into what I'm going to try to talk about. I'm a New York Mets fan, right? So Mets are, they're called Little Brother. They're called the team on the other side of town compared to the giant that is the New York Yankees. Okay. Now the New York Yankees, especially back in the 90s and 2000s, they had built a nice core of players, but they went out and they would go out, especially when George Steinbrenner was still alive, they'd go out and outspend and get like all these players and spend wild, crazy amounts of money. Well, the Mets felt like they needed to be the same thing. They needed to do the same thing that the Yankees do. So they'd go out and spend, but they wouldn't spend wisely. They'd overspend on, you know, not washed up players, but players that are injury prone, players that overpay for older players at the end of their careers. Where am I getting at with this? We kind of have this, and I get it, guys, because I'm the same way. I say this on the podcast constantly, that I'm a little bit of a fanboy too. So it kind of affects me too when it happens. We get a little antsy as Ike fans, and I think as Greek football fans in general. You start seeing, you know, Olympiacos is making all these transfers. Panathinaikos getting Bakaseta, who I know a lot of Ike fans were a little hurt that Bakaseta went to Panathinaikos. For me, at the end of the day, guys, listen, whether it's Almeida, whether it's, you know, Bakaseta, whether it's whoever has contributed to the club while wearing the badge, while wearing the emblem of Ike, I'm cool with. At the end of the day, it's still, unfortunately, it's still a business. He didn't leave directly Ike and go to Panathinaikos, whatever. I know he had said in interviews before, he was a little different from Sokratis, because I think people made up a little bit that Sokratis was really gung-ho on coming back to Ike, and that he was eventually going to come back to Ike to end his career. Now, Bakaseta did say that. Bakaseta, because I remember watching the interview, he did say he wants to finish his career at Ike, and he may as well can someday, you know, in the future. Anyway, but to us, looking at it from the outsider, we're like, we're seeing all these teams make transfers. We're out of the Greek Cup. We're not playing the best football right now at times. We could really use help at left back. We could really use help here. We could really use help there. And we see the team not doing anything. We see all these other teams go out and make transfers. And sometimes that affects us, you know, to the point to where even me, myself, and I did this before last season, Almeida's first full summer with Ike, and training when they weren't making a lot of moves. I had posted that meme from Narcos, Pablo Escobar, where he's like completely alone in all these areas. And the caption was, me as an Ike fan waiting on transfers. And I kind of felt that way. I was like, okay, this team needs to do something. But like Almeida has said before, we never buy players to just buy them for 6 months. We're not going to go out and just get players to get players. You know, I do like the approach that this front office has taken, because too many times we've seen them do the wrong thing. We've seen teams overreact. Listen, we're fans, so we're meant to overreact. We're meant to be wild and crazy sometimes. We're meant to be illogical. That's not how we're meant to be erratic sometimes, to a certain degree, okay? We're not supposed, you know, I don't want my front office to act that way. I don't want my front office to do what they did, you know, 2-3 years ago or 3 years ago, whenever it was, when we went out and got a player that I haven't talked about in a long time, a fan favorite of mine, Fransson, who we didn't see him even touch the ball at Ike. He played a total of 5 minutes, I think, his entire career at Ike. But we didn't want them to go out and make those kinds of decisions. Now, Almeida did talk to the media a little bit. It kind of opened up as far as the plan. The plan going forward with Ike, the, you know, how he's going to deal with, I think one question that was asked was, how is he going to deal with, this year did not go well as far as like rotating the roster. They said they were going to approach that next summer if their tactics need to change a little bit, if, you know, they do need to open up the roster a little more and get a little bit deeper over the summer. But Almeida, when he was asked about transfers, said, you know, if we make a transfer, it's going to be something for the future. And this Ljubičić transfer is for the future. He wants to play midfield. At his club, he kind of fallen out of favor a little bit. Not out of favor. He fell out of favor with the current manager at Dinamo Zagreb because he transferred him to or was playing him at the left back. He didn't want to play left back. He can play left back. That's another thing, is that he fits in this Almeida system because we know Almeida likes to move pieces around, and he can, in a pinch, to play left back. And a good example that was given this week by someone I was listening to said that, you know, if Ike are behind in a game and they need a little bit more reinforcement in the midfield and need to become more attacking, you could throw in Mandalo, for example, in, move Mandalo Ganalopoulou, move Ljubičić to left back, move Pineda to right back, so you could have a more attacking team, a more attacking approach. We'll see how Almeida is going to use him, but most likely, with the player talking to the manager before the transfer was made, that I'm assuming, since the player had such a big issue with Dinamo Zagreb with playing left back, I'm assuming Almeida told him, no, I want you to be a midfielder. He can play the entire midfield. He can play a 6, a 10, a 8, a 10. Most likely he'll be more defensive, more 6 or 8. But he can get up and down the pitch in a hurry. Just be a very fun player to watch. I can't wait to watch him play. And this also shows that the biggest concern of mine were rumblings that I was hearing from various different places, from various different sources. Even I reached out to a few people. I took a road trip this week. I reached out to a few people in Greece that I know that are close with some reporters. And I asked them how much smoke is here where this discussion is being had. This was obviously before the Ljubičić trade or transfer. I asked, you know, do you think Almeida's done? Do you think he'll see out the season? Whatever happens, happens. And then at the end of the season, he'll say adios. And I got a mixed bag of results. Some people said they've talked to people where they think, you know, kind of the locker room shaken up a little bit. Almeida at times seems disinterested. To me, him coming out and talking to the media first and foremost kind of reinforced that he's in here from the long haul. Or him making this kind of move. You don't care as a manager to make this kind of move, to make this club spend this much money, if you're not going to be in here for at least another year. So that was good news to me. It was good news to see that the Almeida's keep trying to keep this team intact, thinking about the future. This was a great signing for the January window. Most of the time in January, you see plug-in players. You see either you've had a bad injury, so you have to go out and get someone else, or you pick up a bench player. Very rarely do you see big transfers work during the January transfer window. And the other thing we have to think about, guys, too, is, yeah, we tend to look at our other rivals. We tend to look at Panathinaikos and Olympiacos and think, oh my God, they made so many transfers. They bought in, you know, Ferran Puttarades, Olympiacos again, this window bringing in, you know, whatever, freaking 10 players, I don't know how many players, getting rid of some. Listen, at the end of the day, though, a manager is going to want his players. Derim wants his players. Carvajal wants his players. You can't bring in a new manager and expect them to go out and play with the, you know, you can't expect a cook to cook with whatever you with your basic ingredients that you give them, you can't expect a cook to make, I don't know where I was going with that, but it's just the way that it works, and that's why they made so many transfers. And of course, you know, you look at it, kind of a Hall made, brought in some transfers from Portugal, a market that he knows being Portuguese. Derim brought in transfers from Turkey, a market that he knows. Even Bacasetas was coming in from Turkey, players that they depend on. Managers do that a lot. We know that in football. That happens. But for me, the biggest thing here to focus on is the fact that Almeida's in for the long haul. You know, really looking at the summertime, we're going to have to make some changes. There's a lot of contracts that are up. I have to get younger. I know I've heard a lot of talk both on radio and messaging people back and forth this week, talking about, you know, should we re-sign Hadji Safi? Should we? I think Hadji Safi has one more year on his contract, or he can pick up an option for one more year. Araujo's contract runs out at the end of the season, I believe. Amrabat, obviously, at the end of the season. I mean, he's the ageist wonder, but at the same time, you're going to want to get younger. You know, I think I heard a statistic this week where we were the oldest team in the entire Europa League this season. So you have to get younger. You have to bring in either younger talent or develop your talent. Another news is that Garcia and Ponce, let's take it here. Almeida's not married to any system. He's not married to any formation. So he could change his formation if he pleases. And it's said that in practice, he did try a formation with Levy and Ponce both up top. What a two-headed monster that would be. Even with Ljubicic now, he can change his formation to 4-3-3, possibly. I also don't see him being, you know, all gung-ho and trying things like this in the middle of the season. Maybe it's something that he can try out of a nagging, out of a necessity at one point, or maybe he could try it in a game, maybe where Ike are up a little bit. I don't know, or let's see where the summer takes us. But a big, big signing, and I can't reiterate this, that big signing both for the fact that for Ike as a player to get this good of a player, and a big signing that meaning that Almeida is here to stay. He's here for the long haul. I would say at least another season. Let's see, what else? Well, things in the Greek Super League are heating up. Let's talk about Ike Ulfi first. Like I said, I didn't watch this match. I just saw highlights. And if you haven't seen highlights, Ponce gets two goals. He scores. The first goal was pretty quickly again. Was a nice goal. The second goal, you have to see it. I'm not good at describing things on the podcast, but you have to see this goal. Even if you're not an Ike fan, go and watch this second goal by Ezequiel Ponce. Pretty much a game that I controlled from what I heard all game, able to get the result, able to keep a clean sheet again. Very two big key things. Ponce again, getting two goals, his fifth goal in however many matches it is. I think two matches, could have had a hat trick. So very, very good result for Ike. Very, very pleased, very happy to again be paying attention to my phone or to my smartwatch and to see that. Yes, I can breathe a sigh of relief. I don't have to worry. I don't have to sit there and, you know, go to the bathroom while I'm in the middle of a meeting or wherever, if I'm trying to have family time and put my earbud in and listen to the match to see what happens. But I don't really have much to say about this. Like I said, I did not watch this at all. I just watched a few highlights. Let's talk about Ike Asteras really quickly. Ike Asteras. To me, this is a little bit of a game where it can be a trap game. I think with the big derby against Bauk looming, which could potentially, if both teams win, or if both teams don't even win, it's still going to be a dead beat, quite a feast, a dead beat at the top of the table. Very big, massive match looming. With Janssen and Szymanski out, Ike dealing with some injuries, Gatsunovic also out. There is some talk about maybe it wouldn't surprise me if Lubitsch starts, but I definitely could see him getting in sometime off the bench. You know, now with adding this quality player to the midfield, this is probably one of the best midfields I've ever seen Ike have in my life. I mean, the quality between Pineda, Lubitsch, Janssen or Szymanski, Mandalo coming off the bench, Galanopoulo coming off the bench. You know, you have so much quality where you could start with Lubitsch and Pineda, and then you can end up with Szymanski and Galanopoulo coming off the bench. I mean, that is going to be a hard midfield for anyone to handle, especially in the Greek league. My thoughts are, like I said, that he's probably going to come off the bench that way to get some playing time in with the team. But don't be surprised. Look, someone had brought this point, made a good point about this, valid, that in the first derby back in September, October with Panathinaikos, Collins made his first start against Panathinaikos in a derby match with, and I want to say he wasn't even paired up with Mukudir Vida. I think he was paired up with Mitoglou, if I'm not mistaken. So if Almeida sees good things out of this kid coming in, and then he can acclimate himself pretty quickly to the team, and he's had almost a week's worth of practices, and he played a little bit last week, his last game for Dinamo Zagreb, I don't see a reason why he might not start. He might start if that's what Almeida wants. Like I said, I highly doubt it. I really think he'll come off the bench. But very interesting stuff. I just feel good. I feel good about where this team is headed. Listen, as a long-term project, I'm not satisfied unless we win the title this year. And I'm going to say that it'll be upsetting if we lose the title this year. But it's also how you lose the title and what happens. You know, I've heard a lot of grumblings these past few weeks, especially after being ousted by Adi from the cup. You know, maybe some results early on last month did not go our way. But listen, I mean, it's, you know, I know like we tend to have short memories as football fans. Look at where this team was just a couple of years ago. Look at how terrible this team was. Look at how unwatchable this team was. Look at how we were getting beat by Aris and Asteras Tripolis at home and Ofi at home, where we lost three straight matches to teams outside of the top, whatever, the top clubs in Greece for the first time in our history. So whatever happens. Like, you know, I personally have this feeling that we're going to do well. We're going to finish strong, and I really truly believe we're going to win this title. Now, as far as the game goes tomorrow against Asteras Tripolis, Asteras is coming in kind of hot. They've won two out of their last three matches. Their only loss has been to a desperate Yanina team who's desperate for points. But they beat Aris 3-2 at home. They beat Ofi and Kriti 2-0. They've been playing pretty decent football. And let's not remember, guys, last round against Asteras Tripolis, even though we won 3-0, the first half was a very tough match for Ike. And Ike did not play well. It was probably one of the worst halves of football I've seen all season from them. Probably next to the Ofi match, the second worst match I've ever seen Ike play this season in the Super League. So this isn't going to be a gimme game. That's why I said it could be a trap game. And that's one reason, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I wanted to get on here and record a podcast today just to get my thoughts out, just to get my good vibes out. Nice feelings after this Lubitsch deal went through. And because I didn't want maybe a negative result tomorrow to affect how I was going to approach this. I apologize. Let me end on, well, let me quickly talk about basketball. I don't know. This team in basketball is in shambles. Today we lost to, we've lost both of our matches in the BCL, which I've stated over and over and over again how that's the competition that I should be gunning for. Lost a very close match to Prometheus Patras, and then lost by quite a few points to another team. I don't know. I just remember looking at the score. And today we lost to Colosos Rodo by like 24 points. Piazza's out. And we got a new Greek coach in. Don't know where this team's going at in basketball. I'll report back whenever I'm able to look, take a deeper dive into it. Obviously, all season long I've been saying that. I just haven't had the time. I know time's flying by, and by the time I get to it, the season's going to be over. But basketball does not seem to be going right now for Ike. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to mention on the football front. Just excited. Feeling good, man. Feeling good. You know, the weather's been nice here. Spring is slowly around the corner. Greek Super League playoffs are right around the corner. Very interesting weekend. Very interesting weekend in the Greek Super League with, let's see the fallout of what's going to happen between Panathinaikos and Olympiakos. Big matchup. Big matchup for Olympiakos. If they're able to win, not that they're ever out of the hunt, but they're fully back in the hunt of the title race if they're able to beat Panathinaikos. If Panathinaikos lose, then you're going to hear that seat under Tirim is going to get a little bit warm. I wouldn't say he's on the hot seat yet, but it's going to start warming up a little bit considering that Panathinaikos' last few results and just the way they've played in the last few matches. So very interesting derby. And then Pauk plays Atromitos, which Atromitos have been reeling. Not expecting much from that match. I expect Pauk to roll them. Pauk, who's been playing good football. Pauk, who beat Panathinaikos last week. But if Ike can get the win tomorrow against Aceras Tripolis, sets up nicely. Derby Corifis against Pauk in Tumba next week. Where else have we seen this in February? Derby in Tumba. Does this ring bells of shades of 2018 to anybody? And honestly, I'm excited about next, more so about next week. I don't want to overlook Aceras Tripolis. Let's hope we go out here and get the 3 points. But I'm excited to see about what we can do against Pauk, because Pauk is crushing all these smaller teams, which, look, to their credit, I've said before, and I've said it, and I'll say it again, that's how you win the league. We have the best derby. We haven't lost a derby yet this season, right? We have such a good derby record, but yet we're still 2 points behind in the league because we didn't beat Panathinaikos this year. And we freaking drew with Kifisha, for example, while Pauk are steamrolling these teams. So credit to them, but I would like to see them, you know, I know they did just beat Panathinaikos last week, but let's see what they can do against Ike. And really, for me, I know a lot of people are high on Pauk right now. I know a lot of people are saying, you know, this is Pauk's title to lose. I want to see what they can do against their kryptonite, because Ike has been their kryptonite the last two seasons. Lucescu has not found an answer at all for Almeida's style of play and the way Almeida likes to play. And honestly, even in the game, one game that we did lose to them last year in Tumba, we lost, I think, 2-0. Ike played better, quite frankly. It just, Bauk were able to be more clinical with their chances. So, very exciting stuff. It's gearing up. And then you also have Bauk and Olympiakos playing each other. So very interesting stuff happening. You know, hopefully, if I can get this win, maybe get a win against Pauk in the derby next week. Really take control of the league and then not see another derby till I think our toughest, every game is tough from here on out, but I think our toughest game left before the playoffs start, I want to say we play Adi. So, one more thing to mention here about Asteras Tripolis for the match tomorrow. Asteras, you know, they're gunning for that sixth place spot. I think they're in sixth place right now, and it would really help them to beat Ike. They would pretty much almost come close to sealing the deal with keeping that sixth spot, that last playoff. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm about to use this terminology to describe in Greek football, but the last playoff push. But let's see what happens, guys. Nastikala. Have a great weekend, everybody. Forza, Opus Panda, Forza. I got, hopefully we can get the 3 points tomorrow, and I will see you guys next week.